To the sixth case this morning, Palermo v. Clinton.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Jonathan Goldman. I represent Anthony Palermo in this matter. This is a case alleging race, gender, and reprisal discrimination in the denial of an upgrade from a GS-11 to a GS-12 after a job audit was performed. In May of 2006, Mr. Palermo requested a desk audit after his position, after he found out that other passport offices around the country with individuals in it in the same position with the same job duties were graded as a GS-12. I want to focus today on the facts that demonstrate that the desk audit decision was made based on retaliatory motives.
Before you do that, would you address the threshold question about whether this desk audit is an adverse employment action or the negative result of the desk audit is a negative, or I'm sorry, an adverse employment action?
Yes, Your Honor. The issue is whether the desk audit or the whether the results of a desk audit constitute an adverse action. The courts have indicated that things like a bonus where there's discretion involved, it's a one-time matter, those would not be considered adverse actions. But in situations where there's a denial of a promotion or the denial of a raise, those are considered adverse actions. The denial of an upgrade after a desk audit is far more similar to the denial of a raise or a promotion. If he's promoted from a, if he's upgraded from a GS-11 to a GS-12, that would result in thousands of extra dollars per year that would continue on. It would be a permanent change in his salary and in his title. Well, not his title, but in his grade.
Well, I understand that would be the result, but it's my understanding that this desk audit procedure is sort of sui generis to this employment classification system that is the G system in the federal government, the STEP system, and so this isn't perfectly analogous to the denial of a raise or the denial of a promotion because it doesn't come about in the ordinary course as raises typically do on an annual basis or promotions do in the course of a career trajectory within an agency or in the private sector. This is an opportunity to have one's position considered for reclassification outside the ordinary course. Is that a correct characterization of this procedure?
Yes, Your Honor, but that's what makes it more likely to be an adverse action. You're talking about a person who's being required to do additional duties or somehow doing things that are outside or above the...
That's his claim in requesting the desk audit. And in that sense, it stands on a different footing than an annual raise, for example, or consideration for a promotion. You know, it may be true that all of these are discretionary decisions, but this desk audit procedure is really unusual. It permits anybody in the system to ask for a reclassification of their position based on their own subjective view of the nature of the job duties. That's all that's required to trigger it, isn't that right?
Yes, that's
right. So somebody
could,
as a sham, ask for one of these, and then when they're turned down, trump up a discrimination claim.
Well, Your Honor, this also brings
into... That's what's going on here is a factual question, but I'm just trying to get at the nature of this procedure.
I understand your question, and this also brings into effect, at least for the retaliation portion of the claim, the Burlington Northern line of cases, which prohibit or allow for a claim when retaliatory activities are brought against an individual that are likely to deter that person from doing exercising protected speech in the future. And if
this isn't a speech claim, right?
No.
This is a race discrimination and retaliation claim. He's claiming that he was turned down for reasons of race and gender, and in retaliation for his past race and gender discrimination claims.
Correct. He exercised his rights in various ways, over a period of time, and the claim is that in retaliation, he was denied this upgrade. And the denial of the upgrade is just the kind of thing that is likely to deter a reasonable person in the future from making those kinds of claims in making those kinds of complaints in the future. And that's where we allege that the Burlington Northern line of cases come into play.
How is that so if this desk upgrade procedure is so unusual?
I don't.
And it's actually it's an exception to the job classification system, as I understand it.
Well, I guess in a sense that it's an exception in the sense that there's these job classifications, and when they're wrong, an employee has the right to ask for a job audit, and that's what Mr. Palermo did here. And as a result of the analysis done, he was not upgraded. But the process that took place in this situation lended itself, and there's clear evidence, we allege, that there was retaliatory motives and there was incidents that happened along the way that affected the process and resulted in this denial of the upgrade, which has resulted in significant financial loss as a result of not getting the grade that he's entitled to.
He's not entitled to it.
Well, that's the conclusion of the desk audit.
It's not just a matter of that was the result. He's not entitled to it. This is a discretionary procedure, right? There's no entitlement here.
Well, it's not really discretionary. It takes into account standards of, what kind of jobs are supposed to be done in a certain
right,
classification.
There are legal standards that apply, but it's not an entitlement. Nobody's entitled to the upgrade, right?
Well, I disagree, Your Honor. If someone is doing work that exceeds what's in the job classification or the job description, to a certain level, then they're entitled to an upgrade.
What's the evidence of discrimination?
In terms of the retaliation claims, he had complained about discrimination when he was discriminated back in 2003, 2004. He brought a federal action in late 2004, resulted in a settlement that actually resulted in him getting this position. And closer to the point in time when the desk audit was done, well, in May of 2006, he found that all these other people.
Was it all or just a couple around the country?
It's a few of them around the country.
A majority of these passport operations officers are GS-11s?
That's correct.
Perhaps I'm getting at the same concern that Judge Sykes is. I don't know. But, it's a cliche in this field of the law that we won't act as a super personnel department. And reviewing so closely the results of one of these job audits is about as close to that risk, frankly, as I've seen. I'm worried about that, if we were to agree with you.
Well, Your Honor, we've included an expert report from in response to the motion for summary judgment. Our expert was...
That shows at best that there's reasonable grounds for disagreement, right? Mm.
It has been unchallenged.
We know the folks who did the desk audit came to the opposite conclusion. Presumably, they're qualified to do so.
Well, that's true, but they didn't base their decision on the same facts that the expert did. The expert determined that the position should have been a GS-12 based on the similar position descriptions for the other GS-12s that are in the system around the country.
And how do we avoid then turning this case into a mechanism where federal juries wind up, in essence, doing job classifications for the federal bureaucracies, stepping in essence, as the super personnel department?
Overall, desk audits should not be subject to jury determinations. But when you have a situation where a person is subjected to discrimination in the process, then it's appropriate to treat it just like any other adverse action that takes place in an employment situation.
What's the causal evidence here of a link between the past discrimination complaints and the negative results in the adverse or in the desk audit?
Your Honor, we went into great length in our brief showing the causal connection. I can briefly go through them now. The complaint was filed in 2006 or settled in 2006.
And maybe I can cut to the chase here. All I saw in the brief was timing-related issues, nothing beyond that, and that's rarely enough to get you to a jury.
Well, it's the timing issues, which are very close in time. You have a complaint made in late July.
Is there anything other than the timing?
And then there's just the false allegations that are made against him in order to try to make him look bad in front of the decision maker. The reporting of these false allegations to the decision maker, even though that's not their regular human resources individual that they go to from the Chicago office. There's the brevity of the decision that was made. It doesn't even mention the OPM standards that were followed or provide any kind of indication of why some of them are GS-12 and some of them are GS-11 with the same position. You've got the very close timing of when the complaint was filed in the EEO in late September of 2006 and the decision made by Mr. Casey in October of 2006. There aren't any other questions. I see my time is up.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. LaShonda Hunt on behalf of the defendant appellee State Department here. Clearly, there's no conspiracy, no retaliation, no discriminatory motive that was involved in this case. There's nothing in the record to support that type of assertion. What happened here, essentially, is that Mr. Palermo took this GS-11 position, and contrary to counsel's assertions, the record reflects he knew in May of 2005 that there were other positions out there with the very same title that were at the GS-12 level. But he was told that he could have this GS-11 position as part of an EEO settlement, and it had no promotion potential. So he had no basis whatsoever for even thinking that somehow his position a mere year later should be upgraded to a GS-12.
So this was a sham.
That is our position, Your Honor, that there was no basis whatsoever for him to even think that. In the briefs, there are some factual disputes here, but none of them are issues of material fact. There are differences between these positions, and that's laid out as well. He knew there was no promotion potential, yet he asked for this upgrade. The State Department could have rejected that request because changing his grade could have affected nine other positions around the nation. Yet they took the time to actually assign an independent auditor from headquarters to take a look at this and to do the desk audit. He researched the differences between the GS-11 and GS-12 positions. He talked to Mr. Palermo to ask him, what is your basis for believing that you're entitled to an upgrade? He discussed the matter with Mr. Palermo's supervisor. Tell me what additional duties he has that might warrant this upgrade. He even consulted an independent third-party contractor who had experience with classification and who looked at this issue. He knew nothing about Mr. Palermo, Mr. Palermo's EEO activities, and he also concluded this position was appropriately classified as a GS-11. So there's no retaliation that went on here. There's no discrimination. There's no conspiracy. It was simply the independent third party went through this desk audit and made the determination that the position had been properly classified, just as they thought a year earlier when it was established.
Can you imagine a case in which a desk audit might become a vehicle for discrimination or retaliation?
It could, Your Honor, particularly where you have the cat's paw theory, where there could have been a situation where a supervisor attempted to impermissibly influence some neutral third party, but that's not what's present here.
I take it then you're not asking us to hold that this could never be an adverse action.
No,
categorically.
No, Your Honor, that is correct. And the adverse action, when you look at that analysis, it really is very context specific. And in this particular context, there was no. I mean, Mr. Palermo ended up with the same pay, in the same position, the same title, doing the same duties. He wasn't asking for a promotion. He was asking them to look at my position and determine if it's properly classified.
This was the only avenue available to him under the terms of the settlement, right?
It wasn't necessarily the terms of the settlement. The position
just
itself.
That they did not they did not foreclose the possibility.
Well, the position itself, when he took it, it indicated that there was no promotion potential.
Mm-hmm. Did that implicitly include no upgrade potential?
I don't think that it precluded that consideration. I'm not sure. I don't know that it would have precluded him from requesting this desk audit to determine if the position should be reclassified based on these additional duties that he was claiming that he was doing.
Well, what exactly does the settlement say about that issue?
I don't know what the settlement. The settlement itself simply referenced the fact that he would be laterally transferred to this GS-11 passport operations officer position. But there was a position description that was already in place, and in fact, the basis for his EEO complaint was that he wasn't awarded that position. And so the settlement itself didn't necessarily address what the position entailed. The position simply, that was the position that he was being slotted into, and whatever went along with that position was what he was entitled to.
Well, what is your reference to no promotion possibility of reference to that?
When the position was created, it specifically indicated in the job announcement that there was no promotion potential. So he had no reason to expect that his job would suddenly be bumped up to a GS-12 because when the job was created, there were GS-11 positions created at the majority of these passport facilities and then the GS-12 at the larger facilities.
So that reference does implicitly include a reclassification. So it forecloses a reclassification, or at least it puts the job recipient on notice that reclassification is foreclosed?
I don't know that it forecloses it. I think that, and then this is probably a question that would be decided under the Office of Personnel Management Guidelines with respect to when an employee can actually request a desk audit. But I don't know that that's, I don't think that's really fleshed out in the record.
In the private sector, promotion usually entails moving from one position to another, not just getting your job reclassified.
Correct.
I understand that's not the prevailing norm in the government, but so when you're referring to promotion, you're not referring to the plaintiff being on notice that he was not going to be promoted to a higher position, which is to say a different position at a higher level.
Correct.
That's not what you're referring to.
Right.
You're referring to the classification of the position he was given.
Right. He was on notice that this position was classified as a GS-11. That was the intention. Those were the types of duties that would be assigned to him, and that it was not a position in which he should expect to move up to have it bumped up to a GS-12. I apologize.
Got it.
Unless the court has any further questions, we just ask that you affirm the grant of summary judgment in favor of the defendant appellee. Thank you.
We'll give you a minute.
Judge, if I could just point out that the settlement did not preclude him from seeking an upgrade. It was a case was seeking a promotion to a different position, and as settlement, he was given the passport operations officer position. It wasn't until later that he found out that that there were other people in that position in a GS-12, and he questioned it, and he went through the process. And then it was sabotaged by Ms. Williams and Ms. Foltz, and by reducing his duties and by making false allegations to the decision maker about him during the process. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement, and we'll have a brief recess and we'll come back to the next.